Joseph from the Wu-Tang Clan. Feed the world. Let them know it's Christmas time.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid.
Welcome to episode 65 of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris. In this episode, we're going to drink a number of Belgian-style holiday-themed beers from a few different breweries.
From, I think it goes from East Coast to Central to West Coast.
Okay.
We'll have a full nationwide view.
So we're going to start off with Bell's Christmas Ale.
Ooh, which is all exciting.
Golden Ale, I believe. From yep. Bell's Brewery in Comstock, Michigan. Big fan of Bell's beers.
I love their two-hearted ale.
This is a nice amber color. It's beautiful, a deep puffy amber. Head on it.
It's a wonderful, frothy, white, tight little bubble head.
A little bit of tan in the head, too. Maybe from
the beer. You're right. I stuck my nose right in again.
You get some sweetness initially. This is probably going to be a
little fruity.
Little fruity with some Belgian yeast characteristics from it, I would guess.
Bell's Christmas Ale.
I believe it's described as a golden ale, but I could be wrong.
So, what do you think of the flavor profile?
It kind of, I get some, maybe like dark bread characteristics or something.
Bread?
I don't know, or crackers, or... I don't get very much hop characteristic.
No, but there is some bittering, but it's not as sweet as the bouquet would let you believe. I don't know how to explain the, I don't get the biscuit, though, so I don't know what you're going for there.
So they say on the bottle, from our fields to your holiday, a malt-driven ale made with 100% Michigan-grown two-row barley. Oh, interesting. And a mix of Michigan and Pacific Northwest hops. A bit of cheer from the North Country, sure to make any occasion festive. 5.5% alcohol by volume.
So do you know what it isn't?
What isn't it?
It isn't like Celebration Ale or any of those other... It's not like
no.
spicy or...
No, it's not one of those.
It's like a nice, clean
It's a nice,
beer.
Malty, very... I mean, they described it with the malt-driven. Yes, very malt-driven beer. It's nice. It's a nice different or a nice separation from IPAs and pale
ales.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't have a big flavor profile. It's just like a nice solid beer.
So you get some flavors other than hops from this one.
Right, for sure. I'm trying to find the marketing spiel on it.
I have them up here.
But I didn't do my 6 minutes of prep as requested.
Let's see. The basic inspiration for Bell's Christmas Ale was to create a sessionable holiday beer using locally grown malt, which would stand apart from the array of spiced winter warmers that are typically introduced this time of year. All right,
they nail that 100%.
In contrast to many other seasonals, Christmas Ale doesn't contain any spices. All of the dry, toasted notes and subtle toffee flavors come from the 100% Michigan-grown barley, custom malted by Breese Malting. While the blend of hops from Michigan and the Pacific Northwest lend earthy herbal aromas, at 5.5%, it stands as a smooth, highly drinkable beer intended to complement holiday menus, not overshadow them.
That's a great way to describe it. When I say it didn't have a particularly strong flavor profile, I guess that's it. It's just this is a drinkable beer. It's heavier than you'd want for a summertime gathering, but it's not an overwhelming flavor that would interfere with anything else you might be doing.
Maybe warms you up a little bit if you're outside drinking one of these in the winter months. This they have an interesting stat on their webpage. Shelf life. I like that. 6 months. Shelf life.
6 months.
That's very cool.
That is good. It'd be helpful for some of the beers. Like, when do we drink these?
Yeah.
They've been sitting around too long.
I want to look at a couple other of their beers and see, like, look at an IPA and see what they say is the shelf life.
Well, he's doing that. Maybe I should go to our Listomania.
Let's do it.
All right, give us time to go through there. So when last we left our wonderful list of 100 beers you need to try before you die, we left off at number 20, Lagunitas IPA. One of the ones that's more widely available on this list, easy to get to, and a delicious beer. So number 19, yet another representative from Colorado, Great Divide Brewing Company, their Yeti.
Oh yeah, I've had that before. Good stuff.
Oh yeah? What'd you think?
That's very good.
So Yeti's big, an strong, imperial stout, yeah, quite boozy stout. And intimidating. But takes it wide. There's oak-aged Yeti, espresso oak-aged Yeti, chocolate oak-aged Yeti, barrel-aged Yeti, and oatmeal Yeti, just for starters. Well, we should get that from your relatives in Denver. And that does remind me.
I'll be going out there, actually, after Christmas.
Well, I'll put Yeti...
bring back some beer. I'll bring an empty suitcase.
There we go. And mail some, too. You know, we'll cover the chart. Go with a... You have to say it's a jam or something like that, I believe. So just a correction from our last episode. The first beer reminded me of that. Because I was in that episode stammering, like, I can't believe that this beer is not the one that I had. It wasn't the beer that I had. The beer that I had, although it's still from whatever, Alltech, Apex, Acme Brewing. But they had a stout that they was barrel aged that I had tried and was nitrous infused. So I will, if I ever get back that way, I'll try to find that and see if that lives up, although I've had two busts on that type of beer. But I saw that they had I was like, oh, that's the one I had, not this one. So anyway, just defending that. So number 18, Hill Farmstead Everett Porter. Well, Hill Farmstead, you've talked about that.
Yeah. I mentioned a few different breweries up in Vermont that were kind of the big breweries that everyone's talking about, you know, this was one of them, Hill Farmstead. And I had a couple of their beers in some of the beer bars up there in Burlington.
Yeah, I had some on tap, but apparently the best from Hill Farmstead is to go direct to the brewery. So we'll see if we can arrange to get growlers from there.
All right,
someday.
And before you go on to the next one, I'm getting a little thirsty, so we're going to crack another beer.
Yay!
And plus, I'm excited about the next one on your list, because it's not one I've had. It's something I want to get at some point. So this beer that we're cracking open here is called...
Damnation.
It's corked and caged, so...
Let's see what happens. It doesn't look like it's going to blow.
It's coming! Oh.
Whoa, it did blow. Wow, that's cool.
All right, but it didn't foam up. That's good. This is Damnation from Russian River Brewing. This is their golden ale. And we're pouring these into the Sam Adams special drinking glasses.
Well, we have to go right to the color then.
Yeah.
Look at that. It's a cloudy,
yeah,
straw,
yeah,
nice and golden.
Nice white, tiny bubbled, super tiny bubbled head.
Yeah, in comparison to the last one, absolutely.
It almost looks like it could have been like a nitro type head.
Right. Oh, it's like a Guinness watching that thing. It must be going on in the... Look at those bubbles coming off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's the etching on the bottom of the Sam Adams glasses to keep the bottles going, or the bubbles going, which is supposed to bring out some more aromas. I don't catch too much on the nose.
Yeah,
do you?
Yeah, tilt it a little.
Yeah. Are you getting,
it's
like
banana.
The banana.
Yeah,
the yeast, so.
And it's a... Oh, that's sweet. Okay, I'm going to want to try that one. Wow, that doesn't taste sweet.
No, it doesn't. And in fact, I feel like it kind of dries you out a little bit. But it has that Belgian characteristic to it, that yeasty characteristic, or
little pepper in the back.
Yeah, a little pepper, that pepperiness. Yep. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm looking for.
I really like that. This is clean.
It's nice. The head
not
is
not cloying at all.
This looks like a head that would get some rocks to it. A little bit of rockiness almost. It kind of sticks around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very thick. It'll stick around as you roll it around in your glass.
This is a delicious beer from Russian River, right? Did we talk about Russian River?
Russian River, one of the great craft breweries up in north of San Francisco there.
Santa Rosa, California, or
Pliny
nearby.
The Elder, Pliny the Younger, and various other.
Was it Blind Pig?
Blind Pig,
which you said you tried, but you can't remember.
I tried it at after the Stone Brewing tour, so I don't remember too much. Yeah, so Santa Rosa, California.
Russian River is one of those hard to find beers, and they have a great reputation, especially
on the East Coast.
Right. However, I think we may have told this in an earlier episode, but in Philadelphia is one of the areas that they distribute to. And when in Philly, I went to Pennsylvania has these weird rules regarding distribution
bottle
beers.
Shop rules.
Yeah, so you can't buy 6-packs or 12-packs. It's either cases or you have to go to a bar and get a 6-pack. So I went to a package shop and said, "Well, do you have Russian River?" He's like, "Sure, I have Russian River." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And he's like, "How much?" He's like, $1,000 for a case of this. And I was like, "What? $1,000? Like, yeah, $1,000. And I was like, "For that? I mean, seriously, $1,000? Like, why don't you go to the post office and get this upside down airplane stamp and just try to get it for 12 cents? And I was like, "I don't know what stamp you're talking about, but I kind of get what you're talking about." So, very, very, sought after here on the East Coast. A friend of mine went out west and brought two of these bottles back. And one I gave to the guy who provided us all the Treehouse beers.
Oh, very nice.
And I said, please, thank you, and all that. But I'm pulling up their marketing materials here. Inspired pretty much by Duvel and other strong golden ales of Belgium, it's a medium-bodied fruity banana bouquet and a dry, spicy finish. Well, that's exactly what... I mean, that's it. That's what it was. It smelled like bananas and fruity, doesn't taste it at all, has a nice dry... That's it.
Yep.
Let's explain what we said. I have nothing else to add.
On the bottle here, they say, "In the great beer-producing country of Belgium, there is a tradition among some brewers to name their brews something unusual. Often the name is curious, sometimes diabolical. And occasionally just plain silly. Damnation is a handcrafted golden ale with an exquisite bouquet of fruit and spice with mouth-filling notes of citrus, malt, cedar, and earthy hops. The smooth, dry finish lingers until your next sip. Damnation is re-fermented in the bottle to create its fine carbonation. Spent yeast cells form a thin layer of sediment in the bottom of the bottle, adding more complexity and flavor. Pour slowly, allowing the natural yeast sediment to remain in the bottle." We thought this fit our Christmas theme a little bit because this is damnation. This is, you know, if you're naughty,
yes,
this is what happens to you.
You get Krampus.
For all you heathens out there.
Get your coal. you weren't good. But I tell you what, it warms up nicely and gets a little bit more complex as you go along.
It's delicious beer. We're excellent.
There is nothing bad about this, but I gotta say like it's really interesting because it has that fruit. It does have that sweet bouquet, but not at all any sweet flavor. Nothing.
I'm trying to moderate since we're recording from Mike's house this time, but I keep wanting to pour more of this beer into my glass.
No moderation, man. We got hours. So we're starting early in the day, so you can go home at 8 and be fine. But I don't know. I want to let this warm up a little bit, so I'll read number 17. On our list is Sam Adams Utopias. It has this excellent picture of what looks like a brandy cask.
Well, it's like that's what the big brass fermenters look like. That's kind of what it's supposed to be.
Utopias is a craft beer like no other. Its flavor is closer to a sherry or a port than a Boston lager that the brewery is best known for. This unique beer is created by blending various barrel-aged brews, some nearly 20 years old, into a boozy. The 2013 bottling was over 27% and syrupy elixir. So yeah, it is like a brandy, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's $100-some for one of those bottles, but it's more like a liquor than a beer, really. So I've never had it. I'd like to try it sometime.
Based on your experience when we let one age about 20 years, you might not like it.
Yeah, this is kind of the successor probably to the Triple Bock that we drank on a video episode, and you can see my gag reflex. YouTube.com/CNBC podcast.
There's a much psych out there. And then number 16 to fit the holiday theme, which we probably should have got some of this for today.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Troig's Mad Elf. As a Pennsylvania resident, Mad Elf has a special place in my heart. I'll mention that this winter release differs greatly depending on if you have it on tap or from the bottle. In the bottle, the boozy cherry flavor is all over the place. On tap, the cherry flavor relaxes a bit, which allows the honey, dark chocolate, and handful of spices to come to the forefront. Either way, we're talking about drinking a sweet Christmas beer, perhaps the ultimate Christmas beer. And to that effect, go back to our first taster, Bell's Christmas Ale is not any of that.
No.
And this is another one that's clean, no sweet, no spice, right. Or no, like, allspice. It has a nice peppery spice at the end with the yeast.
Another good Christmas beer they that I saw in the beer store is Korsendonk. It makes a Christmas ale.
Oh, yeah?
That's really good, too, yeah.
We should have grabbed some of that. Would have fit the Belgian theme.
I should have, yeah. I should. Maybe I'll stop by on the way home and I'll put some of that away for a later episode.
There we go.
I think they have one of those gift packs that comes with a glass, too.
Ooh!
Increase my beer glass collection, just what my wife wants.
You don't have enough glasses. And we'll wrap up the list today with Dark Horse Plead the Fifth at number 15. Which
don't
is
we do 10?
Dark Horse, we do, but, you know. All right.
Oh, now you're stretching it out?
Not more stretching
it out. You're pulling a Harry Potter on us?
I was like, more of the Fantastical Beast. This February release rates near top among all Russian Imperial Stouts. Somewhere in this brew, 11% ABV is hidden, but you wouldn't know it. The dark chocolate coffee and cherry mask the booziness, leaving this Imperial Stout incredibly easy to drink. All right, so it's still warming up, and I want more of it. This is a great beer. Any final thoughts on this one?
Let me take my final sip here. What were the other things that they mentioned?
They say golden, medium-bodied, fruity banana, dry, spicy finish.
Yeah, I get a lot of the spicy finish. Oh, here it was. Cedar. I was trying to get the cedar. I don't know what's... I've never seen that descriptor before. I mean, you hear pine and, yeah, and resin and that type of thing, but never seen cedar before. Maybe.
Cedar's more of a smoky, I would say.
It's delicious.
I didn't catch that, though.
Delicious beer.
It was very, very good. That is your water, yes, sir. Oh, number 13 is one of my favorite beers. All right, so should we go on to the next two beers?
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the... Well... They come in pairs. I gotta say, for this one, it's a brilliant marketing scheme by our friends at Flying Dog.
Yes. Because, they're called?
Well, they have two seasonal brews that they're distributing here. One in red labeling called Naughty, and the other in green labeling called Nice. So that if you really want to try both, you're tempted to buy 2 6-packs instead of one, like
oh,
I was.
Is that how they're sold?
Yeah, they're sold separately.
Nice.
So you can get a 6-pack of Nice or a 6-pack of Naughty.
I haven't seen these yet.
So I bought a 6-pack of each so I could have 3 of each and have a red and green Christmassy look as I went to a Christmas party. Then I forgot to bring them in, which is good, so I have more of these. So I can send you home with a couple.
And this is, they even have like a little sticker on Naughty that they added at the last minute, I guess, depending on what they're... It says, well, when we drink that beer, we'll talk about that.
Okay. 'Cause
we're going to start... with Nice.
Does Nice have a sticker on it?
Because Nice is a golden ale, whereas Naughty is a dark ale. So.
And the rest of our beers tonight have been golden ales.
Yeah. But this is 8.3%.
These are happy, wintry, thick ales.
And they have the Ralph Steadman labels on here with the crazy dog stuff. So this... has that golden color of the previous one, but it's not hazy at all. This is a very heavily filtered beer, it looks like. You can see your finger on the other side, and it's just super clear. But it has a nice...
Not as thick of a head
as
the last
head,
one.
But a nice little head to it. It's a more aqueous head, I would say. It's not kind of making shapes.
No.
You're not going to carve statues into this one as
no,
much.
No, the last one, again, yeah, was still fermenting in the bottle. It's got good legs, though. There's no slouch. But yeah, it's clean, a dark golden. This one definitely has some sweet notes in there. A little bit of candy, maybe? You got that candy that...
I'm not catching a whole lot off the nose. I'm trying to swirl it around.
Oh, really? Here. I'm getting a big candy on that one.
I don't know. My nose might be a little broken.
Okay. No, definitely high sweet notes on that one.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts as you've already jumped in? I haven't...
I would say it's not as peppery as the previous one, at least on my initial tastings.
Well, it's sweeter than the other two.
Yeah, a little sweeter.
But there is definitely... Oh, no. Ooh, that's spicy at the back of your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Let it sit there. It's almost popping like Pop Rocks.
I mean, this one's 8.3%, so it does feel a little bit boozier. Or maybe it's because we've been pounding three beers in a row here.
Exactly. It could be but no, that's really nice. You can get the yeast in there. But this one has more of that sweet flavor going on with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a... Just kind of with it being unfermented, or fermented, I mean, not fermented, being filtered, it has maybe a cleaner taste, I would say. 'Tis the season for giving, and you've done just that. Now it's time for you to receive. Oh, flying dog. Are you looking them up?
I am trying to look up information about this, but what we're finding instead is ugly. So what is the deal this year with the preponderance of ugly sweaters?
Oh, we had an ugly sweater contest at our work too.
Did you?
Yes. It's been the last few years, you know, it's been a growing trend, fad type thing.
I mean, I know it used to be kind of jokey, but it just seemed this particular year it's ubiquitous. Hard, yeah. Like everywhere. Like I was watching the football pregame today and they were talking about ugly sweaters. It was funny though, because
we may have reached peak ugly sweater.
You think? I think it's overdone, like everybody's doing it. It's no longer ironic. It's just silly. Although some dude did come in with one with LEDs built in, and then he flipped his switch, and he was like all wired underneath. Like, try getting on an airplane with that sweater.
All right. Oh, you found the page too.
So toasty and sweet. This beer is quite nice. Light proteins, cream-based soups. What? Oh, that's food pairings. Maybe you better read, as I can't. I don't understand what I'm doing. Where's the description of the damn beer?
There's not too much, you know, they give the alcohol availability end of November, only available in the Mid-Atlantic area. 30 IBUs, specialty malt pills, hops, pearl, and saaz, Belgian-style yeast, and you can get an ugly beer sweatshirt to go with it.
That's what I keep finding.
No.
Is the ugly, but it's got, you know, it got cool labels.
Maybe I need to get that for my ugly sweater contest at work and put some lights on there or something.
But a great gift idea would be the holiday gift collection if it includes these. They do have some really good beers.
A lot of variety, too, from Flying Dog. A lot of different beers, a lot of seasonals and interesting new one-offs.
But, yeah.
So as this warms, I'm getting more of that spiciness, yeah.
I was just going to say, as this warms, I'm getting more of the sweet.
Are you?
Yeah. I mean, again, compared to the other two, were very, very dry ale, low malt even. This one, there's a lot of sweetness to it.
Well, the Damnation was 7.75%, so this isn't that far off from that. But yeah, they, you know, the higher in alcohol you go, generally the sweeter it gets.
I really like the Damnation Ale. That's an incredibly tasty beer. And I like the Christmas Ale. However, this is more of what I want when I'm trying a Belgian.
Yeah.
You know, like, I like that subtle sweet flavor without it being over the top. And the booziness.
Yeah, it's got some booziness.
That's a deliciously delicious beer.
Should we go right into Naughty?
You want to go to Naughty? Were you nice or naughty? All right, so tell me what this slapped-on sticker is okay. Now that we're on the Naughty.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to let you taste it first.
Damn it.
Let's see what you think. Oh, uh-oh.
Oh, that's foaming. Uh-oh. That's foaming. That's going to leave a mark.
Did you have some of this yet?
I did last night. But it was after a Christmas party, so I was not...
So you're already...
I was just... let's just say I had some wine. So my palate wasn't as... well, it's not... yeah. I'm doing a lot of stammering. I had it. I can't recall the profile on it. Let me just say that. And then right after I had it last night, with the intention at a 10 o'clock hour of hanging out with the wife and, you know, celebrating a little bit more now that we didn't have to operate a motor vehicle, I proceeded to immediately fall asleep.
I see.
So if I drink this and then request that we stop recording and I take a nap, then I know it's the beer. But the color on this is super dark, especially compared to the other beverages that we've had today, which all had that nice golden color.
So Belgian-style dark ale is the descriptor on the bottom of the bottle.
It's a super deep red, amber. I mean, look at that color. And it's very clear.
I get kind of those maybe plum and raisins.
Ooh, smells. Raisin, yeah, yeah. It's really, it's like a much deeper, sweet bouquet from the last one.
Hmm.
What is that smell? It's not raisin. It's more like a raspberry.
Whoa. Oh. Drink this and see if you can get the other thing. The thing that's stamped on the bottle.
Whew. That's another one. That's like my mouth just exploded like poppity pop pop pop. Pepper, pepper, pepper. Holy cow. Right?
It's spicy.
It's
right?
Like,
I mean,
really
like hot spicy.
Yeah, this is like jalapeno spicy.
So you called it.
Is it jalapenos?
This is not the bottle. Where's the bottle?
That's what I didn't get that last night. Holy yeah. Shit. That's like hot pepper.
Yes. So ale brewed with habanero peppers, orange peel, and spices.
There we go.
Yeah, you get the habanero. This is not one of those ones that's light on the habanero.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
9% alcohol. That's why I was wondering, like, how could you not catch that last night?
I did not. I was like, oh, it's like got that like peppery, but yeah. I didn't get. No, I was must have been done. Did not get this much. This is actually like burning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get. Like, no, I was. I must have been fried. Hot. Yeah, I was fried, yes, last night. But I also did. It was, there was a lot of hot Indian food and hot food. It was a potluck. A lot of hot food. So I might have also been desensitized to this particularness. Wow, that's really cool.
The jig is up, the fat man's not, real and neither is his goddamn lists. Go nuts.
So, more Krampus beers, this and Damnation
well, this
together.
Well, this is the naughty one, yeah.
Right, naughty. Burn in hell with your jalapenos!
Brewed with habanero peppers and orange peel, naughty packs heat, and subtle citrus sweetness, Aunt Judy's fruitcake will never taste the same.
It is cool, though, the way this thing mixes.
It's great. I mean, I've had a lot of jalapeno beers, and I think next episode we're going to try a jalapeno IPA.
Woo!
But I've never had this level of hot spiciness from a beer. Yeah. Because
how did I fall asleep after drinking this last night? This would give me a heartburn.
Yes, exactly. Initially, when they were coming out with these spicy pepper beers, they were like totally over the top. It would be like a light lager with a super spice thing, and all you tasted was a spice. Then they kind of milded them down a little bit. And I've had a number of jalapeno beers where you can barely detect it. It's kind of like a little bit of pepperiness on the back, almost that Belgian characteristic. But this thing, yeah, this is like you're having a hot salsa or something. Some hot salsa.
Well, no, not totally, though, because it comes on like...
You get that raisiny sweetness at the beginning, too,
yes.
And then it's at the end.
Yeah, that's what it is, right? Like, it's sweeter in the beginning, and then it finishes poppy. But it does. It gives you that pop rocks effervescence. And this is cool.
This is a cool beer, yeah. That's how I would describe it. I was about to say the exact same thing. This is a cool beer.
It's very fun. I like being on the naughty on this one. Although the nice was exactly what I want. This is perfect for my flavor profile for wintry beers. The nice is what I want, but the naughty is definitely has a higher interest.
And more of that crazy Ralph Steadman art on this one with a fire-breathing dog, it looks like.
But I still give him high props on this one because it's almost impossible to buy one without wanting to buy the other.
So I wonder why they slapped on this extra sticker after the fact. I mean, I wonder
what if this is... What does the sticker say?
Ale brewed with habanero peppers, orange peel, and spices. Because the title down below is just Belgian-style dark ale. Maybe this differs from previous years and they're, you know, trying to provide some more descriptors for people that are buying it. I don't know, but it's just kind of interesting.
Or maybe people are bitching about it, yeah. Being like, oh my god, that's hot!
What is this? So they're like, maybe we need to say what this is when we're selling it. But I thought that's kind of interesting.
I did not see any of that on the label.
This is another Mid-Atlantic, available only after in the kind of end of November period.
We'll trade with people outside of this area.
I'm glad you picked these beers up.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I saw them, and I kept avoiding them, and then last night we were going to a party, and I was like, oh, I'm going to grab that, and I justified it because I didn't want to get a six-pack of each, but I was like, well, if we give one as a gift, and then I have one to take home, so it worked out nicely that way, and selfishly. Should I keep going down the list to get us down the
you other drop another other five? Time? Yeah, let's drop another five.
All right, so this just scares me in the title. Number 14, because I'm kind of afraid of these things. It's called Clown Shoes Undead Party Crasher. I'm just afraid of clowns in general, so I don't know if I'd ever try this beer. But Clown Shoes is the name of the brewery from Ipswich, Massachusetts.
I think I've had some of their stuff before. It's the thing that scares me about it is it being potentially a marketing forward beer with the clown shoes stuff.
Sure. Well, I mean, this looks like an Image comic.
Yeah,
like, look at that. Like, I was like, I thought that might have been an advertisement, not the actual beer.
Or a video game or something.
Right?
Yeah.
So it says about this one, because I can't... This one is worth a read. Clown Shoes has a bit of flair for the dramatic, which could easily devolve into gimmickry. There you go. If they weren't able to deliver outstanding beers on a regular basis.
Oh, there you go.
For this Imperial Stout... Okay, that's what it is. I was like, what kind of beer is it? They included a small amount of holy water, along with malt smoked on... The burning staves of hickory vampire killing steaks. All right, I don't know about that. Typically, that would be the kind of thing that would turn me off a beer. Okay. editorializing, and the guy writes it the next sentence. Pretty good. But once you taste this stuff, it's an easy indulgence to forgive. Roasty and dry with a tasteful amount of smoke and great espresso flavors. This is absolutely delicious stuff. Many smoked beers go overboard. This one strikes a beautiful balance. Where the smoke simply complements all the other flavors of an expertly crafted stout. It's outstanding. So there you go. Look for Clown Shoes Undead Party Crasher. Number 13 is one of my top five beers so far in my life.
Wow.
I keep going to it all the time. Brewery Omegang. It's their Three Philosophers. This year-round release is relatively easy to find. Quadruple for East Coasters. It's actually a blend of two vastly different beers. 98% quadruple and a dash of creek.
Yeah.
The result? The first sip provides a nice mixture of dark fruit with slight yet delightful cherry tartness. The back end is slightly warm and boozy, yet balanced and mellow with a mix of earthy spices. Yeah, that's for sure.
Good stuff.
It is great stuff.
Good snifter beer.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a... Yeah, it's a sip.
It's
and
not
tea.
A summer afternoon no. Six pack beer. It's a serious sitting next to the fire sipping beer.
But that's the kind of beer that I've evolved into now, where most nights I'm having a drink,
mm-hmm.
And when I have a drink, I want a Three Philosophers right. Snifter, not yeah. You know a Miller Lite.
Right.
Miller Lite is like I'm gonna be drinking all day.
Miller Lite.
Right? Like, if I'm drinking that,
a case already... of Miller Lite.
Exactly. I've had this before. North Coast Old Rasputin,
uh-huh.
Russian Imperial Stout, from Fort Bragg, California. While many beers on this list attain some prestige because of its rarity, North Coast Old Rasputin is so available that its inclusion is a testament to the quality of the brew. Well, there you go. That must be why I've had it, because it's so available. Number 11, Avery Mephistopheles Stout. Well, I haven't heard of Avery. What else did that say Avery did?
Avery, yeah, I mean, they're one of the big Colorado breweries, right? I'm trying to think of what their big one is. They have a big IPA. They have a stout other than this one.
All right. Well, here's what's weird about Mephistopheles. It's one of the hoppiest beers Avery makes with an IBU rating that hits double IPA standards. But it's a stout with all the stout sweetness that you'd expect. It is complexity in a bottle. Let it age, and all the chocolate, licorice, coffee, and hoppy notes inside the bottle get even more pronounced. Oh, and it hits 17% ABV, but it comes in a six-pack. WTF. Weird, I say. Weird. Well, that sounds really interesting. And you're going to Colorado. Yeah, right? Check that out. That's number 11. That's pretty high up on the list. We'll wrap it up with number 10, another Bourbon County Stout. This time from Goose Island, who continues to produce really good beers. In terms of influential beers for the current craft beer landscape, it would be difficult to pick a single more important beer than Bourbon County Stout. When it first rolled off bottling lines just over 10 years ago, nobody had tasted anything like it before. And that immediately made it a prestige beer for Goose Island, long before the brewery's acquisition by Anheuser-Busch, which is now InBev. Its barrel-aged character still packs a wallop today, and that's not even including the many varietals such as Bourbon County Coffee or a spinoff like Bourbon County Barley Wine. Unlike some of the more subtle barrel-aged brews, this one gets right up in your face. It pretty much tastes like licking the inside of a barrel. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
This makes it a great beer for aging, and considering how long it's been around, it's a great candidate for setting up a vertical tasting. Just try to make sure you have a few other drinkers on hand or things could go very badly. Yes, we have that problem occasionally.
Yes.
All right, I will keep that on the list and as we go out west. We've had Bigfoot Ale before. Whoop.
Oh.
Spoilers.
Whoop.
All right.
All right, let's close this one out. So the beers we had tonight were Bell's Christmas Ale, Russian River's Damnation, Naughty and Nice from Flying Dog Brewing. All, I would say, very good beers. Mike.
Not a clanker in the bunch.
Which was your favorite?
Oh, God, that's not fair.
I know, but you have to do it.
All right, so I don't know if I'm going to go with it because of its rarity to my palate, but I was a real big fan of the Damnation from a construction. You know, the way that it keeps fermenting in the bottle, it traveled very well. It was a nice, clean, crisp flavor. I'll put Damnation as my pick.
All right. So my a relative, or a sort of relative of mine, used to have a Christmas tree stand. And at the Christmas tree stand, the relatives would pass around schnapps or whatever and stand next to the fire barrel as they're selling Christmas trees, right?
So that sounds fun.
I think Naughty would be a good beer to have under those same circumstances. It has that habanero peppers to warm you up a little bit. Naughty was very interesting. I think I'd probably, if I was picking one, it would be Damnation again. I loved that beer. All these beers are great, but Naughty is very interesting. I highly recommend picking that up and trying it. And, you know, if you want to keep yourself warm outside in the winter, grab some Naughty and you're set. You know, that'll do what some schnapps or a little, you know, a flask will do, a flask of whiskey will do for you.
That's an excellent point. I mean, like, yeah, if you're going to one of these holiday parties, it's the season. This would be a conversational beer that everybody will enjoy having. And if you have to sit out on the deck where everybody's keeping the beer, that's the kind of beer you could drink out there and get engaged in an uncomfortable situation with a partial stranger and not feel too cold.
That's right. You'll have something to, you know, lubricate the wheels of conversation.
But yeah, I am feeling very heated on the inside.
Yeah.
I don't know how I fell asleep after drinking this last night.
I don't know. That's what I was asking. Like, how did you?
I don't know. Maybe I wasn't drinking this one. Maybe I was drinking the Nice and didn't even know it. Well, that's a good sign. I went to bed.
All right. Let's close it out.
All right. So thanks for listening to episode 65. Oh, I can't do this from memory. Still.
65. Maybe at 100.
Okay, then I'll get it. Thanks for listening to CNBC episode 65. You can subscribe to our podcast at cnbc.podomat. You can subscribe to our podcast directly at cnbcpodcast.com.
Yeah. You can email us at cnbcpodcast@gmail.com.
Which you might, because we're actually starting to get emails.
You can follow us on Twitter at cnbcpodcast. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/cnbcpodcast, and like us if you haven't already. The interesting thing with Facebook is when you like a site that isn't like a friend or something like that, you don't see all of their stuff automatically, because Facebook has this thing where you can boost your stuff so that the people that have subscribed to your page, basically the people who have liked it, will more likely see it. So they hide under their algorithm to make you pay to send your stuff. So what I'm saying is just check out our facebook.com site directly every now and then and see what kind of pictures and articles and videos and stuff we have up there.
And feel free to contribute, add, and expand on the community.
Also, our YouTube site, youtube.com/cnbcpodcast. I have a couple video episodes I'm going to be putting up over the next couple of weeks.
Next week we'll talk about Untapped and figure out how we can get that involved and, you know, share the wealth when we're discovering these great beers.
And we're going to drink some North Carolina pale ales and IPAs. And
woo!
Yeah, we're also going to talk about a Maryland, Montgomery County farm brewery.
Montgomery County. And also,
stay tuned for that.
We are scheduling the Whole Foods Harpoon Brewer right after the holidays.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's coming up. That's
coming up. I swear to God. Okay. That's going to happen. All right. Fermentation may have been a greater discovery than fire.
I agree.
Cheers. Cheers. Drink good beer.
Drink good beer.